Hello and welcome to the Not Alone podcast. I'm Sam Fredrickson.
And I'm Jason Moitoso. We're still doing that intro. Still doing
I
that
guess
one.
So.
That's the one we picked.
I've had all month to think about it.
Haven't.
You know, if it ain't broke,
don't fix it.
Don't fix it.
Well,
unless you have to, because your landlord's coming to town, and he thinks it's broke, even though it's totally functional.
I have a feeling there's a story involved.
There's
here.
Not. There's
what?
Not. Anyway,
no, you're just making up this story.
I'm just talking. You know,
just like a lot of other made up stories today.
Oh,
shots! Fire.
Wow. As I hope you have known because you read the episode title, this is our first ever Where Are They Now segment. And by segment, I mean complete and total episode. This was actually something that Jason wanted to do. Remember, you brought this up first.
I did.
I said it was stupid.
I didn't think you'd ever run with it.
That was approximately 2 years ago when we had a lot of content left.
I don't know what you're saying, man. We're thriving?
We're fine.
Okay.
We're 30, flirty, and thriving.
I'm not 30.
I'm not flirty, and neither one of us are thriving. So,
oof.
Boom.
Big oof.
Anyway. Yeah, so, you know, if I wait another 2 years, somebody is going to send me a Facebook message and be like, hey, our 10-year anniversary is, you know, in a month or whatever, and I'm going to say no thank you. Or
so wait, why are we saying
why are
this
we
story?
Talking about this? It's because that's essentially what we're doing here. We're doing a reunion of our past subjects. We're bringing them together. Unlike a typical reunion, which takes place at a set space and a set time,
right.
This is going to be kind of like a metaphysical reunion. And the first person walking into the room is our first subject, which is Mothman, who we're going to talk about today. And then like another 6 months or whatever down the line, when again we get really desperate for ideas, we'll introduce somebody else into the room.
Check in on someone else. Okay.
And then soon-ish, we'll have like 10 different monsters in this room together.
Lovely.
It'll be beautiful. And they'll talk about how...
Do a little mixer.
Yeah, and they'll talk about how mean they were in high school and how, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
No. How much they were bullied in high school?
Right.
Because clearly that's probably the correct outcome.
That's true.
Unless one's that's balding, true. Then they were the bully.
That's true.
Yeah. Anyway, so we're talking about Mothman today.
We are talking about
where
Mothman.
He has been since, what was it, Point Pleasant?
Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
Which was like, oh God, 60 years ago
like,
almost-ish?
It was... I think
55?
More than 60 years ago.
It was in the 50s?
It was 1967,
okay.
Which means
it's like
it was 53 years ago.
Wild.
It is wild. It's very strange. So, we're going to say, okay.
I didn't realize moths can live that long.
Well,
men.
Now you know.
Well, men, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Moth part.
Yeah. Well, he was full grown at that point. So if he's 67 now, he had to be at least 18 to be portal jumping. So what does that make him? If he's 53 now. Oh, that only makes him 71.
Yeah.
All right. He's still got some spring in his step.
Maybe.
He's still a young, vital man. Anyway, yes, we're going to talk about Mothman. Now, of course... Anybody who has kept their eyes to the skies, who have kept their finger on the supernatural and paranormal pulse of America for the last 3 years, will know that Mothman's been doing some wild things in the Midwest. But we're going to get there. We're not going to talk about it right now. We're going to talk about it in, like, I don't know, 30 minutes. So just
hang
tight.
So what you're telling me is that Mothman has been busy these past 57 years.
He's been doing a lot. Right. He's been doing hell of a lot.
He's
been pulling some serious work.
What's he been up to since 67?
Well, multiple reports of our boy Mothman have come from one other major area. There are even reports that fit the description of him from long before as well as after the Point Pleasant saga. The earliest of such accounts comes from the Crimean War, when 5 Russian soldiers... which, by the way, that's the area of the world we're talking about, if that didn't make it clear, planning an ambush, were sneaking towards their opponent's camp. One of the soldiers recalled the moon being blotted out above them and a huge, headless, crow-like creature appearing in the sky. The men were terrified, ran back to their own camp, were mistaken as a counterattack from the enemy, and gunned down by their own comrades, with only one of them surviving.
That sounds horrible.
It is horrible. It is much more indicative of the Mothman we know and love.
Yeah, that's a mini tragedy right there. But yeah. How did you not know they were your own men coming back?
I don't know. And here's the thing. I didn't really source that one very well. I saw it.
Now we'll
it's
put
been
it
claimed.
In.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Another, and this is a true source. Another better documented sighting comes from the beginning of the 20th century, taken from the journals of a Russian explorer, V.K. Arseniev. Arseniev was traveling along the Gobili River through an unpopulated area of wilderness. Although they were completely alone, Arseniev's dog began to become irritated and directed its hostility towards some nearby brush. Now, there was sound of heavy footfalls behind the brush, which stopped as Arseniev moved towards them. Then he stopped to get a better ear for what might be moving behind the brush, and said this, quote, "We had been standing like that for some minutes. Then I stooped, picked up a stone, and threw it towards the unknown animal." This is not a Russian accent at all.
Then, I don't know what this is.
Then something happened that was quite unexpected. I heard the beating of wings. Something large and dark emerged from the fog and flew over the river. A moment later, it disappeared into the dense mist. My dog, badly frightened, pressed itself to my feet. After supper, I told the Udihi men about this incident. They broke into a vivid story about a man who could fly in the air. Hunters often saw his tracks that appeared suddenly and vanished suddenly, in such a way that they could only be possible if the man alighted on the ground, then took off again into the air. Unquote.
Are we sure we don't have a primate of some sort?
Well, it flew. What? A flying primate?
Hey.
I took enough biological anthropology last semester to know that that's not how that works. What?
I mean, all we know is that it took off in the trees, right?
Yeah. And that it's just large and dark.
It's large and dark, took off in the trees.
And it's a man. Well, they say
potentially
it's a man.
Trackers have found footprints of some sort. Nondescript footprints. Don't know if they're humanoid or if they're claws or this, that, and the other thing. We don't know how many toes are involved or if it's a normal foot or something else. But if you're talking about like an arboreal species of primate, that makes some sense. But
I'm thinking it's just a big jump.
I mean, like, generally speaking, primates that typically live in the trees, arboreal, don't usually come down unless they have to for an X amount of reasons. And then they'll take back to the trees where they're more naturally at movement. I don't know what part of Russia this is in. I mean, Russia is a very big landscape.
Yes.
So very I have nice. No idea if maybe it's something like that that's gone amok. But other than that, another big bird. I already said like how big birds take off. So that doesn't seem quite possible.
Seems to be a problem with that.
So that's an issue.
All right. Well, that's okay.
That's where I'm going to leave this story.
Another sighting comes from right around the same time as Point Pleasant.
Oh, there you go. You can't be in two places at once. Unless there's a population.
This is one of the more explicitly Mothman things to come out of Russia. So, a winged humanoid was seen on the Amur River in Russia in 1968. Soviet troops were patrolling territories that bordered China as the two nations were undergoing a period of extremely high tension. The report comes from Soviet officers told to a pair of paranormal researchers some years after the fact, and I will not try to do an accent this time. Quote, "One night, the crew of a Soviet patrol boat on the River Amur spotted a suspicious flying object in the Chinese bank of the Amur. When the strange object came closer, the men on the boat realized that the object resembled a winged human figure. the wings were visibly flapping in the air as the entity flew overhead. At that moment, the winged figure crossed the frontier into Russia, and the frontier guards opened fire with their automatic weapons. The flying entity stopped moving its wings and glided down sharply to the nearby taiga and dense pine forest. The crew of the patrol boat radioed headquarters about the incident, and the order was given to find the object or creature, whatever it was. The KGB frontier guard suspected that the figure was probably a Chinese spy, wearing some kind of flying apparatus or equipment. However, a thorough search, which included dogs, conducted by the frontier guards proved fruitless. The mysterious flying man had disappeared. Unquote. So there's that one. Just a flying humanoid. And of course, with him...
Where's this from?
What?
This report.
It's from, I don't know, it's from a book.
Okay, so we've got, all right.
Yeah, it's like, so, it's not like the first one about the Crow Man, which was probably the best, which I couldn't find a source for. This was like from a book of a researcher who talked to people about their experiences.
Okay.
So.
So it's a third person? Third?
Well, it's a second person.
Second hand account.
Yeah. Well, technically, I mean, it's a primary account.
Told by someone else.
Told.
Written down and told by someone else.
Yes.
So it's secondary.
Sure.
He's not the guy that experienced it.
Well, that was the guy's own words.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Were they?
I don't know. You tell me. You found it.
No, you're right.
All right. So anyway. Account.
Anyway.
The thing that I was looking for.
Tell me what you were looking for, Jace.
A description for time of day again.
Oh.
Do we have that?
I thought it's night, one night.
It is night?
Top. Yeah.
Okay. So here's one thing about human eyes.
I have heard you talk so much about human eyes in the last 3 years.
I can tell you what you're going to say.
Damn it.
They aren't good at night, especially if you're on a boat.
So what? You're saying that there was no winged human figure?
No, I'm saying that at night it's tough for you to judge sizes, especially when you are in a moving vehicle.
So if it's a smaller winged human figure, that's okay?
Yes, right. Actually, because right. That's more likely to just be a bird. And that's what I'm here for.
He's the bird man.
Y'all are welcome. Maybe missing a few tail feathers, make it look like legs. That not sound more credible than a bird man that just vanishes? What I love about the story is that they think it's a Chinese spy.
I know, it's fantastic.
With wings that he's flying. Physically flapping.
And maybe that's all it is.
Guys, our pecs are not strong enough to flap wings.
What? Not actual wings, like fake paper wings or something.
Still, even worse.
Yeah, you could do
You're
it.
Talking
if
about...
you had sticks.
What?
You could flap the wings.
No!
Sam. Yeah, you could.
Oh, bud. Sure, okay. Just because I'm done with this argument.
It does make me question why no one's done it before.
Because...
if it's so easy to fly.
Exactly. Like, you'd think someone other than Aang the Avatar would do this.
He didn't have wings.
No, he just used a glider and airbending.
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
That's what these people are, aren't they?
Airbenders. Naturally.
That makes
sense. We busted it wide open.
There you go.
That explains the perfectly vertical lift without using wings whatsoever.
Yeah.
Airbenders.
Perfect.
Done. Let's go home.
Now the next...
I'll go home. You stay here.
The next notable sighting in Russia is a big one. It returns to the idea of Mothman being some sort of a harbinger of doom. It's almost certainly not true. But it's a good story. And that story goes that Mothman himself, Mr. Harold T. Moth Esquire, was sighted directly before and during...
Is that how he signs everything?
Yes. The disaster at Chernobyl.
With his claw?
My craw.
He signs. Sorry.
Now, of course, Chernobyl is a buzzword for apocalyptic fear, with it constituting the most severe nuclear disaster of all time, other than the ones that the United States intentionally caused. The disaster comprised of a meltdown brought about by a botched safety test, which caused radioactive material to become extremely unstable. Jason, do you know anything more? I don't know anything about Chernobyl. I know there's a great documentary series or a docudrama on HBO I've been meaning to watch for a very long time.
It's very good. Okay. I could not recommend it enough. they did not get a few of the things right as far as, like, radiation sickness goes. There's one piece in particular towards the very last episode that is just wrong. but the problem with Chernobyl is that the account that officially comes out of Russia.
Okay.
And essentially everything else has been pieced together from other investigations show two very different sides of the story. It's like Russia
How
weren't
so?
Covered up or something.
Like Russia was just like it's fine, don't worry about it.
Basically, like the
How can a nuclear disaster
exposure,
be fine?
What exactly happened? But essentially the biggest thing was that it was a poorly constructed design flaw that happened while doing testing with a inexperienced crew. Right. And one thing led to another, caused a fire, and eventually, I believe, core meltdown. That being said, I don't quite remember too much more, but it was bad. Real bad.
All right. Well.
Anyway.
So be it.
Harbinger of doom.
Yes. So the legend, often referred to as the Blackbird of Chernobyl, began popping up on internet message boards around 2005. And it states that days before the meltdown, four employees had reported seeing a dark, headless, winged man with fire-red eyes. After the explosion, the helicopter crews who responded in order to try to put out the fire also claimed to see a huge 20-foot big, I don't know if that's big, tall, big, long, or what, 20-foot blackbird swooping in and out of the smoke. A later version of the story also claims that employees had received ominous phone calls and terrifying dreams, and describes the shape of the being as that of a man mutated by radioactive material. So that's pretty fake.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of hearsay.
Pretty obviously fake.
Real bad.
But it does cover, again, that idea that Mothman comes before the fall. The moth comes before the fall. He is pretending something. He is predicting something. Maybe he's causing it. Maybe he's trying to stop it. But either way, this only got picked up and became kind of a thing because of the film adaptation of the Mothman Prophecies itself, where one character claims that the name Mothman is a translation from Ukrainian, which it's not.
What?
Yep. And
Mothman.
Yes.
Is you no
no no no no
Ukrainian translation?
Mothman is what the Ukrainians called this figure in their own native tongue. That then it was translated into English. Now, of course,
not Birdman, which is what's described.
Right. Which, of course, is what
or
we know. We know that Mothman is called Mothman because it's a Batman joke. So,
Right. There's
that. This character claims that there were 100 sightings that occurred in Chernobyl the year the disaster happened. This does not appear anywhere in John Keel's book. However, it was picked up and run with in the documentary called The Search for the Mothman, giving it an unfortunate amount of credibility among certain classes of paranormal researchers. It has also been picked up on like online periodicals and things like that as well.
And one thing to be of note, from my understanding, Chernobyl was essentially one city that was in a fairly wooded area as well. So the local population, as far as fauna goes, it could be very possible that a large nighttime predator that flies existed, like an owl.
But was it Mothman?
Probably not.
It was Mothman.
I mean, does he have a passport?
You're really not getting this whole ultra-terrestrial thing, are you?
I'm really not. This was like Soviet Russia. How do you get in from America?
Anyway, again, the biggest thing that I think is notable about this, which is lost in almost every other account other than maybe the Crow-Man, is the Mothman cometh before the fall, and he's here to let us know that something's going wrong or he's going to cause it. Now,
it sounds like he was reveling in the destruction.
Kind of, yeah.
If he's going through the smoke.
Him swooping in and out of black smoke definitely feels that way. Now, there is one sighting.
Okay.
Sorry. That I think of as one of the more credible events.
Also, if he did fly above it through the smoke, he would have died from radiation almost immediately.
Again, Jason. Ultra terrestrial.
So he doesn't have DNA in cells?
Correct.
To get destroyed. Okay.
Correct.
Following.
Now, the most credible post Point Pleasant sighting does bring back again this idea of the Harbinger of Doom. Now, in 1999, Russia was rocked by a series of explosions that targeted four blocks of apartment buildings in multiple Russian cities in September of that year. Hundreds were killed and over 1,000 were injured. These attacks led to the declaration of the Second Chechen War, wherein Russia declared war on Chechnya, the result of which was the election of Vladimir Putin to the presidency, which is where he still is.
So, was the explosions the tragedy, or was the election?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, a few months before the explosions, the government received warning from a ufology group called Russian House that there was going to be an attack along the Kashirko Highway, the site of the bombings that would happen just a few months later in Moscow. They had sent the letter by registered mail to prove that it had been sent before the disaster. They got this information because there were multiple tenants either in that building or in the building across the way that saw dark figures swooping around in the sky above these buildings. There was even a man who called into the local radio station and told people not to move there, not to live there, because he had seen these things. And of course, they were like, you're crazy.
Right.
So when they were then reported to the Russian ufologist group, they took this. They said, that sounds a lot like that thing that happened in America all those years ago. That's why they sent the letter, is because they saw this as Mothman and Mothman as a harbinger of doom. And then, of course, just months later, that's when that exact building was blown up. And theoretically, it can all be proven if you're willing to go look through the archives, which I don't have any reason to say that it's
but
not true.
Mothman's never given that much of a head start, not that much of a warning.
He was kicking around Point Pleasant forever. Now, he didn't give that specific
around the bridge.
Right.
Yeah.
He didn't give that specific of a warning. Maybe he learned from his mistakes.
It's like he knew he had to go to Point Pleasant and then just hung out there for a bit, enjoyed the weather, and then forgot that, oh shoot, I gotta warn people about this bridge.
Supposed to do something. And then he got there just before.
Late.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So those are the Russian sightings. And those sightings, again, some are credible, some are not. One might just be a big bird. One's probably a lie. One's definitely a lie. And then there's the more convincing one. So take what you want from that grab bag. But again, that's not even what we're here to talk about.
What?
That's all just stuff that Mothy's been doing.
Yeah,
he's
been talking about Mothman for the last, I don't know, time.
The last, I'll dub it in. 1 hour. But
the SpongeBob.
As
1 hour later.
As we approach our destination, there is of course one last place we need to stop on the way when we're speaking of disasters.
Is it the Windy City?
No.
Oh shoot.
It's a little bit bigger than that. But of course, when we're speaking of disasters, we'd be remiss not to mention, although I really, really, really don't want to mention, the terrorist attacks on New York City on September 11th, 2001. According to a man named Stephen Morin, who, as far as I can tell, has absolutely no connection to paranormal events or spooky things or anything, which I only say to make the point that I don't think that the dude is a registered crackpot, Morin was a NYC resident on 9/11, and upon hearing the explosions, ran out with his camera to document what was going on. He took pictures of the medical workers first, and then of the site itself. Now, Morin didn't seem to notice anything strange as he was taking the pictures, other than the obvious, of course. However, as often happens in these sorts of situations, it was when he had the pictures developed that he noticed something strange. There appears to be a strange figure in the sky of the photos. Jason, describe it for me.
It's a bird.
Jason.
What? That's what it is.
It looks to be a very big bird.
Or... it's not.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. Sam, go ahead and continue down your little...
The photos clearly show something beyond the realm of normalcy, and depending upon the apparent angle, it could very well be the strong-legged, winged, headless being that has been popping in and out of human history for almost 200 years now. Now, the photos don't have any clear signs of being doctored. However, many people have claimed that it could just be a fairly standard case of forced perspective, causing the appearance of a giant being, when in reality, it is truly just a seagull. Now, you all know how I feel about Occam's razor. I hate it. And I don't understand it. But I think that this time, a forced perspective pigeon is truly the simpler explanation than Mothman. But only this time.
Can't agree more.
They're not very convincing.
Well, okay, so there's a couple telltale things that you can look at with this image, and we'll have it. One of the biggest things, and I actually learned this from a VFX artist like YouTube channel, is that when you're doing like visual effect shots like this, if it was this big of a creature that far away, I'm assuming like probably against the side of the building or even potentially behind the building.
Right, which it's as you look at the picture, the one perspective that makes it look large is if you believe that it is right there by the building, either coming out from behind it
right.
or, again, right by
your
the side.
Your eye really wants to trick you into thinking that it is next to the building because it's next to the building from the shot. But the tricky thing is that with distance, you have the haze, you have the atmosphere to go through, and that distorts color. And... If you are looking at something that is the same distance away from other things, like, say, this building, the darkest darks of this being should not be any darker than the darkest darks on the building. Because, hypothetically, all the dark shadows, the dark spots, are going to be the same darkness.
Huh.
Now, the problem is that this figure is darker than anything on the building or anything near the building at that level.
Huh.
At that distance. So that's an easy telltale sign that... This is either doctored or you do have forced perspective. The other thing to think about is that clearly this building is there for easy like size and scaling.
Reference, yeah.
Right. Now, we have another person in the crosswalk. I'm assuming they are normal human height, 5.5 feet or so.
Okay.
And the actual figure from tip to tail, hypothetically, is maybe like a third of the body size, right?
Okay.
Now, when we look at the building, those floors themselves are probably like, I don't know, 0.8% the height of the bird. So the wingspan of this thing, it would have to be a Godzilla monster for this to actually
Rodan!
Be correct. This thing would be huge.
Yeah.
The wings would be so much larger.
Yeah.
Because of the upscaling for it, for the body size.
Yeah.
So those two factors alone clearly show to me, at least, that this is forced perspective or a doctored image. The biggest giveaway, again, is the darkest darks. That's the easiest thing to go, okay, it can't possibly be that far away because of the way that atmosphere affects light and color.
Hmm.
But the more you know.
Well, all right. So, yeah, that's I agree with you.
And
just this one time.
Good luck not seeing that in every visual effects shot. From here until the day you die.
Forever. Try watching Lord of the Rings now.
Actually, the cool thing of Lord of the Rings is that most of everything was done on miniatures. Which is why it still holds up so well.
No, I'm talking about the Hobbits.
Oh, yeah, those are trash.
No, they're not trash.
They're pretty trash.
They're not trash.
You're looking at... Sam?
They're not trash.
Tell me the Hobbit movies are good.
No, not the Hobbit movies. The Hobbits. The little folk.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's all forced perspective.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. The miniatures are very good. I agree. But those Hobbits, the visual trickery that they did with that is just... It's fantastic.
Outstanding.
It's amazing.
Amazing.
It's amazing.
So very cool.
I know because I just watched the 4-hour-long Return of the King Extended Edition at the Egyptian Theater downtown.
Oh my God.
No, I just watched it. And my favorite thing about watching Lord of the Rings is anytime it's the back of one of the characters, it's a child in a wig. So
sounds
like
about right.
The very end when they're like sailing off. I don't know if this is in the normal editions. I think so. But they're sailing off with the elves, and you can see, like, Bilbo.
I've only ever watched, like, the director's cut.
Yeah.
I've never watched, the actual original, like, theater.
Because you're not a filthy casual. Bilbo is, like, walking onto the ship with the elf, with V for Vendetta and Agent Smith. And he's, like, walking across, and that's obviously just a baby boy in a wig. It's wonderful.
So good.
I freaking love it. Anyway, so, yes, that one's forced perspective for sure. So, there are a number, and it's also worth noting that Moran himself does not think that this is Mothman. He probably doesn't even know what that means. He thought it was, like, guardian angels, which is a nice idea. But there are a number of reports during the following 10 years, but nothing really major. It's not until August 22nd, 2011, that Mothman makes any sort of a serious effort to make a comeback. And
what?
When he does, they are indeed serious and very wavy.
Okay.
It's on that day that a couple walking about the Chicagoland area, noticed a strange shape swooping about in the sky. They took out their smartphones, which at that point in 2011 would have been...
iPhone 4.
Nice. No! The 4?
I had an iPhone 4 my freshman year.
All right, well, that's how we know. That's how we know. You were a freshman in college in 2011? I didn't even graduate till 2012. You're only a month older than me.
Graduated 2011.
Okay, that's fair. They took out their smartphones.
You went to first grade late, Sam.
I know.
They held you back in kindergarten.
Stop, I know. They snapped a shot.
Lap year.
The shot of the thing that they snapped looks
like
to
a
have... Yeah, it looks like bat wings extended like a glider would, primarily gray, with the undersides of the wings appearing pink. Again, we'll have this photo in the show notes. Jason, what do you think?
I think it's an RC glider.
You think it's a legitimately a remote-controlled gliding machine?
Oh, yeah. I do. At least to some extent. Now,
God, I hate this.
The nice thing about it is that atomically.
Anatomically. Not atomically.
Boom. Explosion.
Boom.
This looks about right.
Oh, good.
So you've got a body, and anything that is big that wants to fly, you have to sacrifice other features of your body to be able to do that. Most of the body looks to be some sort of potentially stretched out leathery material, right? Some sort of wing apparatus. You have tiny legs and you don't have a tail. Good news. Once you're really big, you have to drop a tail because that's too much drag, which is why dragons kind of suck. Other than that, the rest of the body looks extremely streamlined. Now, what is weird about this in particular is that you have almost like these upturned, like almost knobby kind of flares at the end of the wings.
Okay.
That's what makes me feel like it is artificial and not an actual creature of some sort. Because there aren't birds that have this sharp 90 degree wingtip. Like there are planes.
Right.
And RC cars. I'm not RC cars, but RC planes. So I think potentially that it is maybe something like that where the image quality was too bad to see any kind of propeller system.
I don't think that looks like a remote control glider. I just don't. It just...
They were popular when we were in high school.
But they didn't look like this. This is like triangular because of the way it's like all spread. I don't know, man.
That's my best guess.
All right.
Otherwise, from the image as well,
what you have to say.
You do have, again, like the tips of the wings are also dark, which makes you think that it is a thicker part of the body. And that also doesn't make sense unless there was like a propeller at the end or something. Or if it was painted to look like that.
Or that's his hands. That's what I thought. It was his hands.
Hands?
Yeah.
You don't even know hands. That makes no sense. Why would hands ever be
there? He's got flaps of skin underneath his arms like a sugar glider,
so he has giant hands, that
big old hands
that don't face outward when he flies but back and down.
Yeah. Yes,
flies like that.
Yes, exactly like that. You tilt those hands behind you,
I don't know, man,
you got it going.
I don't know.
Anyway, So that's the first sighting. We have a picture of it.
Yeah.
The next sighting.
There's an image.
The next sighting came a little over a month later, on September 30th, in the University Park suburb that houses a high amount of students. Two female students were preparing to go out for the evening when they spotted two large, round, orange glowing eyes, illuminated, staring at them from outside the window.
Who? Who's doing that?
The girls were on the third floor. They stated they felt that whatever was looking at them looked at them as though they were its prey. Six other students reported seeing something in that area that evening, with reports of it claiming it was between 6 to 7 feet tall, gray to black, with glowing red or orange eyes. They also saw it ascend into the air. So again, we're just left. We're just back. We're not even where we're supposed to be, but we are still back at the original problem, which is that Jason thinks that a person can see an owl that is maybe a foot tall and think it's 7 feet tall.
Sure do.
That's where we are. Another couple was walking about in the evening when they saw what they described as a man with wings flying about 12 feet above them. The creature looked like an oversized sugar glider, which the witness knew because she was Australian. But she also, because she was Australian, knew that it was not in fact a sugar glider because it was huge. It was way, way, way too big, and its eyes were glowing red. The couple saw it for 4 seconds, and then it simply disappeared into the night, out of sight. Now, Mothman would then not be reported in Chicago again for a number of years.
So wait.
Okay.
On that last account, are we sure it's Mothman? Not a cousin?
Like,
Sugar Glider
cousin,
Man?
Cousin Moth? It could be Sugar Glider Man.
I mean, are we sure this is the same cryptid to any extent?
Yes.
From both of them?
Yes.
Because both of them kind of have this very glider, mammal-ish feel and look to it.
Yes.
Over an owl.
That's
or
true.
Or a bird.
They
like
do look
ship.
Very different.
That's
there are some differences. I agree. I think it's Mothman. I think he just went underneath some cosmetic surgery because he heard somebody talking about his body.
It wasn't me in 2011.
Was,
that's
well,
for
that's
sure.
True. Rude. Now, Mothman returned to Illinois in 2015 during the height of the torrid meteor shower. He was not in Chicago. He was in Normal, Illinois.
That's doesn't a, sound like it.
It's a place. There was a man who declined to be identified, but he told investigators that he had gotten up around midnight to watch the shooting stars. After a disappointing showing, he was about to go back to bed when he saw something coming towards him in the dark. He strained his eyes to see and was able to make out the form of something very large with a width of about 20 feet or approximately 6 meters. The thing was gliding noiselessly towards him with no lights and hardly any identifying features. But as it flew over him, he was able to make out something hanging from underneath it, as well as legs and wings. Then it was gone. He was sure that it did not have any sort of head that he could see. It is worth noting, again, sure, it's midnight, it's dark, human beings have crap eyes, but this man was also a pilot. So I assume that he would know, like, how to judge the perspective on something. But that's just me. Jason, you got anything to say about that? Anything
no.
at all? It went right over his head.
Mine too.
On November 1st, 2015, around 10 a.m. in the morning, in Washington Park, Chicago, a woman claims to see a crow man. Hovering over a high-rise building, hovering in the air at 10 a.m. in the morning.
Okay.
He's totally black from head to toe, black wings. Then, after a minute, it flies away, although, again, it more of hovers away, just like Mothman. She's, like, on the phone when this is happening, and she's telling another person, and the person's like, it's fine. It's fine. It's probably just a bird. You're fine. So it sounds like she was talking to Jason Moitoso.
Sounds like a bird catching an updraft.
Oh my gosh.
As far as floating goes, that is very understandable for large winged creatures. Condors do it. Essentially, they just glide the largest bird ever, but the Argentavis, did that off of what?
But if you're gliding,
yeah,
you're not hovering. To me, denotes staying in the same space, whereas gliding is going to be moving through the air.
From there, it depends on your upwind currents. And also, what other kind of winds you are going
into. I mean, I have seen a bird trying to fly into the wind. Yeah, that's true.
But also, up currents. So the way that the Argentavis, which is the largest bird ever.
And it's extinct now?
It is extinct, yeah. It went extinct about 6 million years ago. It lived in Argentina.
Oh, well, okay.
So very high altitude bird. Theoretically, the way that it stayed aloft is that it took the up currents from the side of mountains to keep it floating and basically gliding and soaring. Didn't have the musculature to actually flap its wings well enough to create lift. In fact, like, it had to get a running start at about probably at least a 10 degree downslope before it could actually achieve lift itself. This is how big of an animal we're talking about.
What the flip?
It had a wingspan about 23 feet, which would be accurate if that's the kind of size for a human being. Roughly, at least height-wise. And that's where things get really weird with Mothman, because he does not have the wingspan for something our size.
That's a big bird.
It's a big bird, man. Think about them drumsticks. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they have very similar life patterns to, like, condors, some of the largest current birds, where, yes, they do have to actually get a taxiing running start in order to achieve lift, just like airplanes do, but they have to use upcurrents as well. One thing that I was thinking about, hypothetically, if a building is tall enough, there will be some sort of upcurrent off of it. So later on in the episode, when we get to more populated areas, I'd expect this to be the reason why Mothman can fly.
Hmm.
Potentially off of some sort of weird updraft that was able to propel, and you say, or at least keep
updraft,
him levitating.
You're talking about wind coming in sideways and then hitting.
Correct. That and due to differences in temperature of the air.
Huh.
Hot air rises.
That's right.
Same thing. So
I remember.
And then it falls again, and then it heats up and it falls. So those kind of updrafts are what big birds use in order to achieve flight and maintain flight. Swooping.
Now, 2 years later.
Whoa.
Mothman returns to Chicago and does so in full force. Like I said at the beginning of the episode.
So he's fully moved in.
Yes. He lives here now. And by here, I mean there. As I mentioned, anybody who, like, pays attention to paranormal news at all will have heard in the last 3 years about this. It's been a very big story. But, of course, you have to care about paranormal news for it to be a big story. So, who knows? But 2 years later, on February 8th, a man named John, who is described as being a huge skeptic who doesn't believe in things, was driving home in the dark when he saw a huge man run into the middle of the highway, then grow wings and fly away. For John, it was simply a very, very large, strange bird. But his wife disagreed. And after consulting a medium friend of hers, not medium-sized, medium as in spirit medium. I see. Have you lost somebody in your life?
I see a paywall of $29.99.
I see the letter J.
A?
E? E.
There's a vowel, yes.
And this medium tells her that it's a shapeshifter, and she agrees. John's wife does. Now, it's worth noting that these stories, although I'm telling them in chronological order, are reported not in chronological order. As often happens with flaps like this, there are multiple stories that get reported after hearing somebody else's story, although they occurred before them. So, from a reporting standpoint, this story, not the John with the flying man, this story on April 7th, 2017, is the first story of the most recent Mothman flap. Everything else, whether it was before it or after it, was reported after it.
Okay.
So.
But this sounds like a large bird trying to take off. Like I said, it has to taxi.
Yeah, but
it has
to
run.
Yeah, that's
fair. To get
going. That's fair. You're just straight up right on that one.
And then maybe it took a flap and it's like, oh, wings.
But how big? And what bird?
I don't know, man.
Sandhill crane.
Probably, I don't know, maybe a condor of some sort. I have no idea what lives in Illinois.
Well.
Yeah, I have no idea. Beats me.
Right. So,
but I wouldn't be surprised that there's maybe one large predatory bird around there, even if it's scarce, like they all are becoming.
Save the birds, you fools.
And everything else. What? Anyway.
Save ourselves.
But yeah, that is at least as far as like characteristic wise of how something big takes off. That's the first Mothman that we have that's like locked to our physics.
That's good.
Yeah.
Because this one's not.
No. Perfect.
Again, the first sighting that was reported of the current flap. April 7th, 2017, a man is walking his dog and he notices the dog starts to act a little strangely. Now you'll remember dogs and Mothman do not like each other. Mothman kills dogs, or at least sometimes dogs appear dead where Mothman was. Dogs bark at him. He don't like that. He takes matters into his own mothy hands. I can't say I agree with it, but that's just how it is. The dog does not want to go to the park, which is unreal.
Don't understand that.
It is completely wrong. And
something's wrong with the dog automatically. Something's incorrect.
Quite literally what the owner said. He was like, I don't understand this. My dog, the park is her favorite place in the world. What?
Who are you?
Is this the end of all things? Now, they approach Oz Park. The dog still does not want to go, even though the park is in sight. The man forces the dog into the park, rounds a corner onto his favorite jogging path, and then notices something just a couple dozen feet away from him. Quote, it was 7 feet tall. It looked like a giant half-man, half-bird kind of thing. It reminded me of the character Bird Person from the show Rick and Morty. Only a lot scarier.
Oh my god.
It stared at me for about 15 seconds. Then it unfurled its wings and screeched really loud and jetted into the air. These wings looked almost bat-like and were at least 10 feet across from tip to tip. It rose into the air like a bullet, and I heard it screech once more before losing it from my view as it rose above the trees and possibly the buildings. Unquote. So that's the first sighting of the Chicago Mothman in the most recent flap. Again, depending on who you ask, Mothman has been around specifically around Lake Michigan for the last 9 years, starting in 2011, but most prominently, Chicago 2017 and onwards is what we're looking at. Now, about a week later, on April 15th, boaters on Lake Michigan saw what appeared to be a giant bat, at least 6.5 feet tall. It circled their boat 3 times, then flew off towards the shore. They also saw some sort of a green light moving extremely quickly, potentially following the creature, which is another aspect that has not been talked about in any of the other stories that we've mentioned.
Is it like a green laser light?
No, like an object that was emitting a green light that followed quickly after.
Interesting.
Yes. And, of course, the Mothman flap coincided with large amounts of UFO activity, and of course you have Indrid Cold and what was his name? Frickin' the guy who went to the frickin' planet, man. Oh, man.
Right. Other weird stuff that people just attribute to being Mothman because they happen around the
Woody Behringer, I think was his name?
Maybe.
I don't know.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah. I can't believe I forgot this. Anyway, Woody. I know his name was Woody. He saw Indrid Cold. Indrid Cold was like somehow tangentially connected to the Mothman. So again, here you get this idea that, okay, you have the Mothman and then you have something else following it or watching it as well.
I don't know about that, man.
There were 2 more sightings from that same night, with one witness stating that it was again at least 6 foot tall with glowing red eyes that stared at the witness, who was frozen for a period of what seemed to be 2 to 3 minutes before it zoomed off into the sky. After the first reports came out, at least one more from before April 7th surfaced as well. And this was a person named Billy Bantz. He's notable because he is the first person to give his name along with
He sounds like a Marvel character.
He does sound like a Marvel character. He is the first witness to allow himself to be completely identified and go on record with what he saw.
So what does Billy say?
Billy claims he saw something flying in the sky in the afternoon, or at noon exactly, or right around, as he was making a delivery in his truck.
Okay.
He said it looked like a flying Batmobile.
Cool.
Yes, it was gliding soundlessly and was able to gain elevation as though it was being propelled. The encounter ended when it went straight up into the sky and disappeared into the clouds. But Bance also claimed that the encounter changed his luck, with his mother passing away just weeks after this unexpectedly, and that more and more things were just going wrong the more he speaks about it.
So, and we have a drawing.
Yes.
Is this from Billy?
That's Billy's drawing.
So is it V-shaped, or is he just showing us one wing out of the two?
I don't know. I think it's...
When I first looked at it, I thought it was like boomerang shaped.
Yeah. Yeah, Billy, this is a bad description. There's a lot of Batmobiles, man.
There's been a new Batmobile every other decade.
So it's a body with a single wing is what it looks like to me.
That's what I'm getting to. I see the body, which is almost like an elongated teardrop almost.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And then we've got a wing that may or may not be bat-like.
I like
it's got a lot of ridges
up
to be
there
bat-like.
At the top of the picture, the smaller one.
Uh-huh.
I like that view the most.
Where it's still fairly horizontal?
Yes, where it's horizontal.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're looking at.
That looks more like a correct flying thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Gosh darn it, Billy. Anyway.
It's difficult.
It's difficult to say, but it was cursed, and it cursed him. Now, as the months wound on, there were more and more sightings of the Mothman doing more and more things. One person claimed to see him dive bomb off the Sears Tower. Another witness recalled seeing two Mothmans engaged in some sort of strange midair dance above the Adler Planetarium. It's worth noting that on the 1999 Russian apartment bombings, there was also the report of multiple Mothmen flying above the building, and not just one of them.
So I know
which is
that,
unique to those sightings.
I know that bald eagles, like during mating, clutch each other's claws and then fall to the ground. Maybe there's some other large bird that does something similar as a mating ritual.
Could be.
I mean, that makes sense, ish. Does it not? Does it make too much? Are you just upset at me? I'm trying to explain natural things that happen.
Another witness
that not everyone knows,
a police officer, saw a figure jump off of an apartment building and fly away. By August, there were 29 different
sightings.
Well, yes.
All right. Cool.
Yes.
Case closed.
There were 29 different sightings by August. Since then, they have not stopped. We'll provide a link in the show notes to all of these reported sightings collected by one Tobias Wayland of singular14.com. Now, most of the accounts come from Alon Strickler, who runs a website called Phantoms and Monsters. The others, most of them, come from UFO Clearinghouse, another popular UFO reporting website, which is the one that actually broke the story to begin with. And then you also get a lot of reports from MUFON. The current count of sightings in and around Chicago, with a huge amount coming as well from Gary, Indiana, from 2017 only, 2017 onwards, is at about 96 as of the time of recording this episode. 96 recorded sightings in the last 3 years.
That's not bad.
That's pretty good.
That's a lot more activity.
That's like three a month. Almost exactly, right? 3 years, 36 months. Yeah.
Close. No.
Close.
It's like three every 4 months? Or one every 4 months-ish?
No, it's been 36 months and there's 96 reports.
Oh, so like four every...
It's about three a month.
Three every 5 weeks.
It's a little less than three a month.
Every other week.
The sightings have continued, as I've kind of tipped my hand, into 2018, with accounts of tall men with glowing red eyes. There was an owl man who was seen, an enormous bird, a creature with the body of a monkey, and bat wings. And in 2019, a woman claiming that a flying witch swooped down and attacked her car. On February 22nd, 2019,
a witch. Yeah. We've had witches that attack cars before.
Yeah. The Brujas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is
this is in Chicago.
Anything similar? I'm assuming feathered. Chicago
I'm
is
pretty
a melting
sure that
pot
those,
of
I'm
cultures.
Pretty sure that the Brujas are basically like bird women as well. So it would
it's like harpies.
Yeah. Yeah, sense. Exactly. Okay. It would track. It would make sense. Now, the last three reports of Mothman at the time of researching and recording this episode, because it could very well change by the time it comes out. These final three reports are some of, in my opinion, the most interesting and scary, just to be straight. Very scary for me to listen to.
So are we still in the same area?
We're
same
in,
neck of the
we're
woods?
Back to Chicago.
Okay.
We're at Chicago. We are at the absolute worst airport in America, O'Hare. If
is that
I never,
from personal experience?
If I never go through that airport again, it'll be too soon.
Okay, then.
The first of these last three accounts comes from November 26th, 2019. A truck driver claimed to be picking up a load from the airport when he saw what looked like a large bird standing just outside the fence of the parking lot. On closer inspection, it looked to be a person with wings. He saw it flap the wings and then disappear into the night, although he doesn't say exactly how. It's worth noting that this is coming through his daughter. The witness himself does not speak English fluently. So he just says that he disappeared. I don't know if that means he jumped up and flew away. It honestly sounds like he is just walking and then just kind of goes away, even if that means walking into the dark out of view.
But we do actually have wing flappage.
Yes, the wing does flap.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a development.
First.
That's
that
a
is,
development.
That is first. Look at that.
The being was at least 7 feet tall with at least a 6 foot wingspan, which from everything Jason is saying would have been completely inconsequential.
Could
trying
work.
To provide lift.
Could not work.
As happened in a number of other cases.
Unless it was a kite. That would work.
Including the original cases from Point Pleasant.
Or some puppetry.
The witness reported feeling an extreme evil coming off of the creature and immediately prayed to the Virgin Mary and made the sign of the cross in order to protect himself from this evil. The witness believed it to be a demon or a goblin.
Ooh, a goblin.
A goblin, a duende.
Ooh.
Yes. Interestingly enough, the daughters of the witness stated that her father had had another strange encounter in his youth while at his in his childhood home at in Mexico. He had seen a black winged creature circling an open field that he and other children were playing soccer in, and then it made a loud screeching sound and flew off. The following week, a devastating 8.0 earthquake rocked Mexico City on September 19th, 1985. So,
that just sounds like a bird out in an open field.
Bird on top of a field. Now, I'm not even going to respond to that at this point.
I mean, let's be honest. Birds of prey do that to look for small rodents.
Good. Good.
Okay. And then, like, was he close to Mexico City?
Oh, I don't know where he was.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, about a week later, on the 3rd of December, an airport security guard reported seeing a shadowy figure near a creek bed near the cargo hub of the airport. At first, he thought it was a trucker who was relieving himself, so he put on his lights and pulled up to talk to him. Then the man turned towards him, and the guard saw two very bright red eyes. It unfurled a set of wings, flapped them, and then took off. He ends his report by saying, quote, "I'm going to be blunt here. I don't believe in hobgoblins and little green men. I'm sure that there must be a rational explanation for this. I have a reputation for being grounded and level-headed, and I have worked too hard to get to where I am to have all of that trashed by saying that I saw a red-eyed flying man. Yet, this is what I saw. I am torn between reporting this and keeping my mouth shut to protect my identity, to protect my retirement. If I do report this, I want everything to be done to protect my identity. And then I think it was Lon Strickland. It may have been the UFO Clearinghouse, but they did. They spoke with this individual. They were able to verify his employment there and all of that. So, of course, you only have their word to go on. But at this point, that's not nearly as crazy as something dive bombing off of the Sears Tower. So now,
I mean, I was going to say, or the last gargoyle thing that.
Right. Oh, yes.
Decides to want to eat your sister, potentially.
Yes. And then eats you instead.
Carries you away.
This was in the same area as the previously described encounter with the cargo trucker. That's what that guy was another, he was a cargo trucker. So finally, the last encounter with the Chicago Mothman, also referred to as the Lake Michigan Mothman due to its tendency to visit a number of cities near or on the Lake Michigan shoreline, comes from 3 days later, December 6th, 2019. That's less than 2 months ago.
Yep.
This was also reported by a man driving near the airport. This man's name was Daniel. He also works in cargo for the airport, but he didn't see a thing until he was actually off work. In a large patch of grass off to the left of the road that he was driving on, he saw a 7-foot-tall person with wings standing near the loading dock for Nippon Cargo Airlines. He was able to get an accurate height estimation due to a nearby fence. The thing turned, and he was able to see its glowing red eyes. And when he did, Daniel was overcome with feelings of dread and a certainty that the thing, whatever it was completely and totally evil. Daniel claims he was not aware of the first of the three airport witness reports until after his sighting, as he was Googling to figure out what it could possibly have been that he'd seen. So, clock is sitting at just about 2 months. I would be surprised if we don't have something else happening soon. And what is the most interesting to me about those last three is the way that they are just so related. All of these, for the most part, other than the ones of like the kids at school, are just like, oh, I saw him here. Oh, I saw him there. He's all over the place doing whatever. Like, this is three people seeing him at the same place. A place,
it's like its natural environment or something.
Its natural environment. A place, though, that has a high risk existence just by being an airport. So if anything happens at the Chicago O'Hare Airport in the next, I don't know, let's say few months, I think it was Mothman. I think it was Mothman. I know what you think. Go ahead and say it.
I think it's just a big bird.
Big old bird.
I mean, I don't. Daniel doesn't say, like, what time of day or night he sees this. And I'm assuming because, well, it's an airport.
Yeah.
It's active all the time.
Yeah.
The only time that you'd get eye shine is if it's at night. So.
For me personally, I think that the vast majority of these alleged where are they now Mothman sightings are probably bunk. The ones that I believe the most are that initial 2017 of the guy in Oz Park. For whatever reason, that one.
Giant weird bird thing.
Yeah, giant weird bird thing stared at him for like 15 seconds, made eye contact, and then shot up.
In 2017. Stared at him 15 seconds. He didn't take out his phone and take a picture.
No, man. He was overcome, and I don't blame him.
By fear?
He also has, well, again, taking this from like the extraterrestrial or whatever, he did say that, I don't think I put it in the notes, he did say that the park, like, he couldn't hear any sounds. The trees weren't rustling. There were no birds as there normally are.
Just
that
still.
Sort of a thing. Just completely still. And again, you get all of these reports that say, even in this age of smartphones, like when you see something like this, you are paralyzed. You're locked into some sort of a staring match with them until they leave.
Well, it's your fight or flight reflex.
Right.
Trying to figure out what to do.
That's true. That's true. But I think that's probably the most credible of most of these sightings. And then those last three just really get me. The fact that they're all within a week of each other, they're all in the same place, and that place is a frickin' airport. So, and the worst airport. But
is that really why? Just because you don't like O'Hare?
I do hate O'Hare.
And you're like,
a whole lot.
I hope Mothman does something.
No, I don't. That's terrible. That's terrible to say. I don't hope Mothman destroys the Chicago O'Hare Airport.
Like their magic floors just stop working.
Yeah, like that. There you go. Anyway.
The walkways.
I'm pretty sure I know that Jason doesn't think any one of these was a credible sighting. Is that correct?
Okay. My man.
There we go. And thus, well, but that's fine because that was his conclusion at the end of the original Mothman series, where I was foolish enough to say maybe it was an owl. I would just like to say it was not a flip-flapping owl. And the thing that we talk about next week won't be an owl either.
You promise?
I promise. I promise. Anyway, that's what I've got. That's our first Where Are They Now? Cryptid reunion tour. And this one is in Chicago.
You know, it's just nice being able to check in.
Yeah, just really to see how they're doing. Now, the problem is there's not...
They don't have a Facebook account or a social media account, not like us.
There's not a lot of... Oh.
And the segues.
Nope. There's not a lot of other like mass flaps of sightings of creatures that we've talked about, so it might be a while until we do another one of these, but...
We'll keep it on our radar.
We'll keep it on our radar. We'll follow it, as it were, just like you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and guess what, guys? Instagram!
What?
That's right.
What?
I've been posting on Instagram lately.
Oh, no.
And I'll tell you, you guys
bizarre.
Are great. I mean, we get more engagement on Instagram than anything else.
What?
So I'm thinking about shutting down the Twitter. I'm probably not going to do it. Twitter's just really wearing on me lately.
It's just not TikTok, is it, bud?
It's not TikTok, and I can't figure out how to use TikTok for the podcast yet. But when I can, we'll have a TikTok.
Watch out, everyone.
So, in any case, you can follow us on all of those social media platforms. Not Alone Podcast, Not Alone Pod. Remember, we are Not Alone, a community for the strange. That's our Facebook group. Our website's up. It is notalonepodcast.com.
Ooh,
you can
shiny.
Email us at notalonepodcast@gmail.com as well. That's all we've got.
Perfect.
Who did it last? This is a very long time ago. We haven't recorded in like a month.
Yeah, a little less than a month.
We'll be doing another standard episode.
Rock, paper, scissors over it?
Yeah, we'll be doing another standard episode next week. I'm going to see if Jason wants to do a special the week after that. We'll see. And then... somewhere around there, we'll be starting our series on Aleister Crowley, which will last until we die. So,
perfect. And then probably a little bit after that?
Just a little bit.
Perfect. Okay, here we go.
Damn! All right. Wait, does that mean I do it or you do it?
No, I win.
Okay. Okay.
Get to. Remember, whether you're plotting the demise of your... holiday excursion, or you're warning the world of the next disaster, you are not alone.
That was pretty good.
You know, every once in a while. Well, I had the whole rock, paper, scissors.